Hello, I'm Alan McGuire, and this is Juvenalia, a podcast about childish things. Some pedants might point out that it's actually pronounced Juvenalia, but those people are wrong. Juvenalia is the art that we make when we're young and unformed. Juvenalia is the art that makes us when we're young and unformed. Now that sounds pretentious and made up, and it's true, I did just make it up and I'm very pretentious. What it basically means is that every 2 weeks or so I'll talk to a cool, interesting person about a book or film or TV show or whatever that was important to them as a child and how they feel about it now. So that's the gist of it. Let's go listen to a podcast. Hello, I'm Alan McGuire, the humour editor of headstuff.org, and this is Juvenalia, a podcast about childish things. With me today is my guest co-host, Ellen Tannum from her.ie and the internet. Hello. Ellen.
Hey. Hi.
Hey, and our special guest is Damon Blake.
Hello, everyone. My name is Damon. I will be joining the pop culture archaeologists Ellen and Alan today to talk about a drugs PSA from 1990 called Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue. So if saying that you don't know what it is, or maybe you're just curious enough to find out what it is, go to YouTube right now and watch it. It's 30 minutes of all your favorite cartoon characters in a, in quotation marks, anti-drug PSA. So pause the podcast, listen to it, and come back to us.
Yeah, we're going to put the link for it into the post for this, so I guess we should probably start with what actually happens in it. Like, who are the main characters in this?
Well, in Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue, it's a it was an anti-drugs PSA that was broadcast in America, Australia, and I believe South America as well. And it was about all your favorite cartoon friends. Say, Alf. Everyone loves Alf.
He's a pog.
He was a pog. That's true. I feel like a lot of what I'm going to say to you, you're going to be going through the focal point of memes to understand.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Because I was born in 92, which obviously is 2 years after this aired. So any of this like anti-drug sort of like George Bush Senior stuff is to me like a relic.
Yeah, you came into a very pro-drugs world.
Big time.
Yeah, you don't. This was the fulcrum point. This was the BC AD of drugs. Like, the now we live in a basically everything is legal world, but it's hard to remember that back then people were against drugs, but very into invading the Middle East and bombing it. So what happens with this video is that it's a journey about a boy who likes cannabis and his sister who doesn't know what that word means. And she's the one who sees all the cartoon characters come to life and tell her.
That is true. Yeah.
She's completely sober, apparently.
Yeah. But she's kind of interested in it because maybe her and her brother could become friends again.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
That is like a bonding thing. You know, drugs.
Like, it is. It's like when you go on a night out with people and you don't really know them that well, but because you're in a non-sober state together, you feel like you've sort of leveled up in the friendship. It's weird. Mm.
It's like Vietnam War. Like, you know, when you try and explain a night out, if you weren't there, you're not going to understand how much fun it was and the bond that is created amongst people. So that's what this... And in fact, I feel like maybe this video for us has been our Vietnam because it was very intense. And unless you've been through it, you don't understand.
That was incredible.
It's what's something that's unclear from the video is how long those cartoons have been coming to life for the girl. If it's just something they've like sprung to life to do now, like on a special mission, because she seems to have like a pre-existing friendship with Winnie the Pooh, but also he plays dead in front of her, but also she acknowledges him. Like a weird kind of Dom Sub kind of...
Yeah, it's some sort of sexual Toy Story-esque fable where only when she's looking at him is he real. Yeah. It's like that thing of like, oh, what happens to the light in the fridge when you close the door? Yeah. Is it alive or not?
Schrodinger's cat.
So the basic plot of the film, like it's an epic. It's more a dream that someone's videotaped. So her brother's doing drugs. The cartoon characters come to life. They tell her, "Hey, drugs aren't cool." I'm not good with this word. Anthropomorphic. That's it.
I was halfway through. You just go. There's a pro tro somewhere here.
Words are hard.
Cartoon person of the drug smoke comes in, voiced by George C. Scott, and says to her, "Hey, drugs are pretty cool," and shows her how cool they are. But like a monkey paw, it is actually not good for you to be doing drugs. And so the brother goes through a psychedelic journey. He realizes, "Hey, all these cool things I'm seeing are not good for me," and says, "No more drugs."
I feel like what's weird about this is for an anti-drugs PSA, it was like the trippiest thing I've ever seen.
Well, I saw this movie a lot when I was a kid. We had taped it off Australian television, where it was simulcast on two channels at the same time. So, like, you couldn't avoid it when it came out, because if you tried to change the channels, it would just go back to this. So, in many ways, it felt like a dream at the time, where every channel you change has the same image being presented. I watched it a lot growing up because it was my favorite Friends. You know, it had Michelangelo in it. It has like the Muppet Babies.
Just
who was your favorite in it?
My favorite in it?
Like out of all the cartoon all-stars.
I would say Michelangelo was my favorite, even though he was not on the front cover, I guess because he was a ninja. And I don't need to tell Irish people how scary ninjas are, because the Ninja Turtles cartoon was called Hero Turtles here.
Yeah. Yeah, which I didn't realize it was ninja until the live action movie from like 2007 came out, and I went to see that when I was like 15, and it was really, I just didn't realize there was the ninja aspect.
Mm.
I thought it was just a more generalized.
You're like, ninjas aren't heroes.
Ninjas are bad.
they're Japanese assassins. And he's in this movie, which it seems, I mean, from the very beginning, it seems very strange because Michelangelo, I mean, if you had to describe him in two words. Alan,
He's the party dude.
Yeah. And he's telling me not to be doing drugs.
I feel like as well, the Turtles, they always ordered pizza.
Yeah.
There was some stuff. I feel like Michelangelo.
They lived
was
in a really
lying.
Like shitty flat as well.
Yeah.
Like,
they were kind of the
walls.
They were like the proto Wu-Tang clan. They were just ordering pizza and watching old Japanese martial arts movies.
Yeah.
Playing with size.
You play with size.
Much like old Dirty Bastard did.
Yeah, Raphael, Donatello, and Method Man. and then the other cartoon character in it is Garfield. A character who, again, is famous for being really sleepy.
Loving lasagna.
Loving lasagna. And hating Mondays, the day when you have to go to work.
After a weekend of...
Who knows? Catnip. So, like, from the beginning, you're like, there's something not right in this video.
Like, do as I say, not as I do kind of thing for several of these characters.
Well, it is introduced by American presidents.
Yes.
Who start, like, the Bush administration were apparently very pro this video.
Mm-hmm.
And as mentioned, they were the ones who started the war in Iraq. Although the war on drugs was technically started by Nancy Reagan herself when she shot a dealer on a street corner. But she would do PSAs about this sort of thing. Don't say no to drugs. Your brain on drugs.
Yeah, that was like, it was like an egg frying or something.
It was an egg frying.
And I was like, oh, it's quite extreme. Like they didn't do a sliding scale of types of drugs, which I thought was weird.
Well, that's also reflected in the movie because, I mean, in many ways, while marijuana is a gateway drug, this is a gateway video to doing drugs because it really sells. Like you can go skateboarding while on weed. you can see all your best friends come to life.
The only real downside they show is that you might have a bad dream.
I mean,
you know,
I have bad dreams sober.
Yeah. And bad dreams featuring your favorite characters, featuring Muppet Babies. That's where they come into it.
Yeah, I find the Muppet Babies the most disturbing out of all of it.
Just like, don't ruin their innocence. Like, they don't need to know about drugs.
No, they're baby Muppets.
Yeah.
God.
So for me, watching this film, I watched this film a lot when I was a kid, and now watching as an adult, I was like, oh, maybe you know, I wanted to make fun of it, but I didn't do drugs like until like my mid-20s. Like I didn't drink until I was 18. I was a pioneer. Like I went to an old boys Catholic school.
All girls.
Yeah. And they at one point, like I was taught by the brothers, which if anyone at home doesn't know what the brothers are, they're priests that were allowed to teach children.
Yeah.
That's not done anymore.
No.
No, they kind of phased that out.
Yeah.
For some reasons.
Yeah, look, you got the internet.
Yeah.
You've been to all the Oscar-nominated movies. We don't need to go into it right now.
My secondary school was a school, but also like a retirement home for brothers. So on the third floor, there was just bedrooms.
That's insane.
Belonging to brothers. They just wander around in the day.
We used to have nuns in our school that lived there.
Yeah.
And by the time I got there, there were no nuns left. But there was a quarter. There was a quarter of the school.
That feels like you're just like saying, like, no. Just to be clear, by the time I got there,
I weeded them all out.
Yeah.
No, but there was like an area blocked off where the nuns slept, like their dorms, and it was alarmed. So anytime anyone tried to go and see what it looked like, a big like full on like security alarm would go off, and everyone would get detention and stuff. But Catholic school, not great, and sort of. Would be very anti-drinking and alcohol generally.
Mm. Yeah, I mean...
Or anything like at all that isn't in the doctrine.
I imagine like at some point they had to put a drunk nun to bed in one of those bunk beds and they're like, let's just phase out the alcohol part of things.
Yeah.
But I searched it up, and the Pioneer Total Abstinence Association of the Sacred Heart, founded in 1898, as it was called, I was one of like five people in my year to take it, and they brought you into this room and they made you swear. Like, I feel like you wouldn't be allowed to do that without parental supervision in any other context.
Oh yeah. So it was like sort of like the Legion, where they bring you in, like the Legion of Mary, just like a super Catholic after school club.
Yeah, you got a special pin that you wore, so other people knew you were a pioneer as well.
Yeah.
You got to go to special table quizzes, which when you're in a single gender school, that's a fun way to meet, you know, the other gender and find them less scary. If you were in the armed forces, it was only one of two civilian pins you could wear.
What was the other one? Yeah.
The other one was the Fonia?
Oh, for Irish speakers.
For Irish speakers.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so you could meet someone in the army and by their pins tell that they don't drink but speak Irish, showing they're no crack at all.
Oh my God.
There was one kid in our school who had a Fonia, and everybody's like, really? He's so great with his fucking Fonia. Yeah.
Why is he bringing this Fonia to school?
What's he's had on a school jumper, yeah.
Yeah, but like...
What a dweeb.
Yeah. Does that mean he can just leave class whenever he wants? Like, because that's... We had a German kid in our German class, and he was just like always just jumping out a window. He was never paying attention to the adverbs.
If he's like, felt like he's doing an extra Irish class that day, you're like, Fonia.
He's answering...
My chest. You can't see that. That's where the Fonia was. It was just... It's like a little metallic kind of nipple thing.
If you had like the Pioneer and the Fonia, you have one on each nip. So
like adornments, it would be cool. Yeah.
But this guy who would wear a Fonia to school, would he, like, say you're in geography class and they're asking about the doldrums, would he answer
Osgoelga?
Osgoelga?
No, he didn't. He didn't transact all his business through English.
Okay.
But he just wanted you to know that he could get an Irish if
he wanted. In Star Trek, in Deep Space Nine, when they'd have like the Ferengi there and they would speak in like English, but they had their own.
It does actually look like, you know, when you're like a lieutenant commander in Star Trek Next Generation.
Mm.
It's like one of those, because the non filled in circle. It's like you're a lieutenant commander of Gwaelga.
Well, I mean, obviously the Irish language has fallen out of use over the last while, and pioneers in 2011 had to go onto the internet and ask for funds because they were losing so much money. Mm-hmm. They were in debt because for some reason people like drinking.
What are they spending money on though in the first place?
They have a magazine called Pioneer that they release once a quarter.
Cool places to not drink. Or?
Yeah, you know, it's
bowling alleys.
It's a lot of listicles.
Just those two late night cafes in Dublin. Just the two.
Yeah, or in McDonald's as well. Because you can probably go there.
I mean, great atmosphere there.
Yeah. I never drank and I never did drugs until it was half of that sentence was legal. But. You know, it was I when I decided to watch this video again, all my siblings were like, oh my God, I remember this. And let me just say, the lessons did not dribble down to other people in my family. Like, it was, I watched this. Now, this isn't going out on the internet, is it? Like, people, this is just a private conversation between the three of us.
We have an
internet
we're going to put it out on.
Oh, an internet, perfect.
Just heads up.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff, yeah.
Updates go out through Lotus Notes, things like that.
I use Lotus Notes. It's horrible.
Oh no, it's ridiculous.
It's like Satan's emails.
Program. Yeah, it's Satan's notepad. It's like everything's done through Pig Latin. I thought, oh, this will be a fun thing to talk about because it's cartoons, it's pop culture. You were not born yet, Ellen.
No.
So you will learn all sorts of things through the rest of this podcast about pop culture from before you were born.
I feel like there was a lot of it that I had kind of absorbed through osmosis just from watching other shows. Like, you know, like when you watch The Simpsons and you pick up stuff from movies that you've never seen, like Citizen Kane.
Or The Honeymooners. I only heard about The Honeymooners through Simpsons. Then you get other Honeymooners jokes in other shows because it was in The Simpsons.
Yeah, you're like, oh, all these jokes about domestic violence are really weird. Oh, it was a TV show devoted to the idea of beating your wife to the moon.
To the moon, yeah.
Well, I thought, getting ready for this, I was like, wouldn't it be, like, because I'm like a Vice journalist, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if I maybe smoked before watching this?
Did you?
Uh-huh, yeah. Like,
how was that?
Well, watching this as a child, I had no problem with the levels of inception-like reality that are at play here, where...
Because when you're a child, your imagination is like a lot more porous.
Oh,
yeah.
I had so many beliefs of what my life would turn out to as a child that didn't turn out that way.
Yeah.
But watching this, like, at the beginning, when all of her cartoon friends are coming out, Papa Smurf sees her brother stealing her piggy bank, and he, like... crawls out of a comic book where apparently inside the comic book there's a whole Smurf village that exists.
He also said smurfing as a verb. I have that down.
Well,
he uses the word smurfing.
That is fairly par for the course for the Smurf.
Really?
Yeah, the Smurf,
Smurf race.
Before my time.
Well, see, for them, like, they're allowed to say Smurf to each other, but we're not allowed to say
God. Okay.
Yeah, so that's not your word, Alan.
No, yeah.
So they, like, it's a slur. Okay, yeah.
No, well, not when they say it.
When they say it,
yeah.
But
if Gargamel said it.
Yeah.
The other cartoon characters pop out. For example, Alvin the Chipmunks are on a record sleeve. There's a framed picture of Alf.
It's like this, Fiona does in 1990.
Yeah. This small girl who's like, every night she says goodnight to her framed picture of Alf.
Kisses her picture of Alf.
Yeah, the alien life form whose real name is Gordon Seamus, I think.
Alf is an Irish alien, like Irish.
Gordon Shumway.
Oh, I thought he was going to be like part of the diaspora.
The diaspora, yeah. He came back for the gathering.
Yeah.
See, again, you look at that and you go, Alf, why is Alf in this? Like,
yeah.
Alf was Alf wasn't just a cartoon. Alf was a sitcom, a live action sitcom with
a puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was an alien life form for a planet called Melman, which was destroyed in a nuclear war. So a lot of the themes of the TV show Alf were about survivor's guilt, PTSD, the feeling of losing your entire friends and family in a war. You know,
so like it was like the Deer Hunter.
There would be a scene where Alf would be playing against Robert De Niro for the family cat because he loved eating cats.
The cat thing, that kind of threw me, because when I was watching it, and it was the fact that Alf threatened Garfield's life and he wouldn't, because Garfield was being too lazy to help stop the brother doing weed, and he was like, no, I'm gonna, it's Monday, I want pasta or whatever, and then Alf was like, I'll eat you.
I think you've hit on an interesting idea there, because this cartoon is kind of like a proto slash fiction, like a fan fiction sort of thing.
Totally,
because you rarely see crossovers for good reason, because these things exist in different realities. In many ways, they're not, they just don't intersect well.
There's like a moral relativism among different cartoon universes.
This is true, yes.
Yeah. So true, yeah.
Like Garfield is chaotic neutral, whereas you can create a grid. And
like
Michelangelo's chaotic good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a party dude. Mm.
Who doesn't do any drugs. That turtle is...
Straight edge.
Bit of trivia for you. The guy who plays Michelangelo also voices the dad. So So what a narc, really.
Oh my god, yeah. I can't believe the dad is so, like, he was very blasé about the whole thing. Because like the beers were getting stolen and the mom was like, oh, you were probably so drunk watching football.
Like, probably.
Okay, I'm going to the shed now.
There's such a lack of, like, the thing about drinking beers is like treated like he's sleeping in. It's such a, well, alcohol's fine. Like,
yeah.
He keeps, I mean, the crack, that's the one where they start freaking out.
That's the other thing, right? Because they don't show any negative effects of marijuana, and then crack kind of gets just brought into the conversation very suddenly.
Because it's a gateway.
Yeah, but then his friend goes, I'm going to buy some crack. Let's go do crack. And she runs away, and she's never seen again.
No.
There's no resolution to that story. We don't know how crack turns out for her. It could be good, it could be bad. We don't know.
It's really hard to buy crack, in fairness.
Like, she makes it seem surprisingly easy. You just run at someone, and they will give you crack for $10.
That can happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of hazy on the first season of The Wire, but I feel that happened.
There's definitely running involved.
Yeah, Bubbles is sidekick in that. I think that's how he got crack, and then he ran, and stuff happened to him in the end. But there's a lot of, like, I did some research on this video, and I feel like the people involved didn't pay attention to the lessons they were giving. Because again, Ellen, you, and having not seen Alf, you wouldn't perhaps be familiar with Max Wright, who was the father in Alf. And so he was on that show. And the only other time he's really had a kind of like a national platform was when a newspaper printed photos of him smoking crack and going down on a homeless man, which was taken from a videotape.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. So how can we, and also the gentle listener at home, supposed to take on the life lessons from Alf when Alf's own foster father
is giving a BJ to a vagrant?
Yeah.
Just... when was this, like the 80s?
Oh, no, well, this was mid-90s, I would say. Oh.
So before he was on Friends as the owner of Central Perk.
Oh, was that yeah, where he was?
He was that as well, yeah.
Oh, my God, that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy, he would lick a cloth and wipe down a counter, and you know where those lips were just like only 20 minutes previous.
Not Gunter,
no.
No.
Gunter's pure.
Gunter's pure. Gunter's still making the rounds. But the thing about... Max Wright as well, was apparently during the filming of Alf, he would take cocaine intravenously. And one time he was so off his face of coke, he was going through a similar Cartoon All-Stars like trip that he attacked the Alf puppet because he felt it was mocking him.
Oh my God.
So, like, even just there, even because I feel like Alf is the most prominent voice in this cartoon.
Yeah. Oh, he's very much the leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bugs kind of does a solo run, but kind of fails.
Bugs is like a sensei. In this, yeah, I think
Bugs first appears in this dress as a police officer.
Yeah, he's like a spirit guide, I would say.
That's true. Mm. That is true.
It reminded me of A Christmas Carol when he came into it.
It reminded me of that Christmas I took peyote. And
that was a crazy Yule.
You know, just made it in the bathtub out of a cactus, and after that, all my friends appeared. But also the voice in the cartoon of the living smoke monster.
Yeah,
is George C. Scott.
Now that name's familiar, but...
He was in Patton, the film Patton. He was in the film Hardcore, where he goes underground into the seedy underbelly of New York trying to find his daughter, who's on heroin and filming pornographic films. He was also described as the sort of violent alcoholic you rarely meet in your lifetime.
Oh.
It's weird, because he is a very charismatic villain.
Oh!
His voice is, like, so seductive or something. Like,
that's... drugs are seductive, guys.
Like, he gets more lines than every... all the stars.
Yeah.
George C. Scott. The stars.
The old stars.
He's the Loki of his time. Like, if this came out right now, we'd all be like sexy drawings of him on Tumblr.
Oh my God. There'd be like Sonic the Hedgehog and George C. Scott. Like, slash fic.
I am definitely Googling that sentence when I get home.
Oh, there's some stuff. Sonic and Shrek is one you need to look up.
Like, together.
Oh,
at last.
Oh, yeah. I know, Alan. It's finally happening. Yeah. But yeah, Bugs Bunny was also one thing. Actually, all the way they all talked about drugs sounded really formal to me.
They used their scientific names.
You know, they didn't really ever. They were saying about it like it was like an abstract thing rather than the thing that the guy was actually getting in trouble for doing a lot, which I found really weird.
Mm. Well, I mean, it is a fairly formal, because it is introduced by the President of the United States and his First Lady.
And a tiny dog. Yeah.
And the dog.
She looks like she's strangling the dog in the picture.
She does, doesn't she?
She's shut up.
Like, the dog's gonna tell the secrets of what they were up to the night before. And
the dog would be like, 420.
We didn't get the American presidents in Australia. We got Bob Hawke, who was the Prime Minister of Australia at the time. And Bob Hawke, for a long time, held the world record for fastest drinking of a yard of beer. He drank 1.4 liters in 12 seconds.
Wow.
And that was like a campaign video for Australia.
Because when we nominate someone, I mean, I don't know how people do it here in Ireland. Apparently, there's a lot of numbers and a lot of scary posters stuck all around on lampposts.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the Australian Simpsons president is...
That's just
quite
Australia,
accurate.
Isn't
it's just
it?
Australia. Sure, yeah. No, it's fairly. I mean, the best story I ever heard about Bob Hawke was that on a first class Qantas flight, Michael Hutchence, the deceased singer of
INXS,
who at the time was dating Kylie Minogue, they had the sexual intercourse, to use the formal term.
Oh.
And Bob Hawke was in the row in front of them, and while they were mid coitus, he turned around and flashed them a big thumbs up.
They had the sexual intercourse not even in the toilet.
Not even the toilet. That's when you're at first class. That's what you get to do.
Oh, my God.
And then the stewardess hands you a moist napkin at the end.
Clean up, guys.
Yeah. Oh, but it smells like lemon, so it's fine. So that was the context in which I experienced this, and I hope anyone listening at home now understands the journey that happens with the cartoon All-Stars.
So was it like part of like a larger anti-drugs thing in Australia? Because you know, like over here and in America, it was like the whole DARE thing, which D-A-R-E, like it was like, I remember, drugs are really dare to enough or something? I don't know.
Drugs are really enough. We had Lego rules, okay? That was a big advertising campaign.
Yeah.
We didn't really...
DARE campaign was a thing. My friend has a bomber jacket with the initialism on the back and I just can't remember what it is.
But like it was like if you like in arcade games, if you like were playing Street Fighter and then you'd win and then they're like, don't do drugs, there. Like, and be like all the characters like, don't do drugs.
Oh, that's, pinball tables.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, everywhere.
And isn't that weird then as well, taking that point that Michael, I think the guy in the film's name and his friends smoked weed in like what looked like a leisureplex.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, they were.
I was like, that would not go down well in my Tala leisureplex. Kicked straight out. They had UV lights in Tala leisureplex.
I had my 30th birthday at the Tala leisureplex, and the bathrooms were unable to be used because they were covered in blood. So
yeah, it's a special place.
Look, I mean, bitchin' air hockey tables there.
Have
but
you ever done Quasar?
Yeah, that's what we were there for. Yeah. And we had chips and hot dogs afterwards and played around with the games. It was a good day.
The bowling alley is actually top class as well.
Look, hey, I am pro Tala. Do not worry about here. I mean, I am getting a bit of sponsorship from South Dublin County Council just being here today. So just subtly weave it in. Weave it in.
It's all there in the square.
Yeah, it's all there. It's the culmination of the red line and a good night out. That's really...
It's all you need.
It's all you need. I feel having watched this film, I thought it would be really funny to watch it having smoked something, and it is a nightmare of a film. There is a point.
Is it frightening when you've actually taken a substance? Like,
so when I was a kid, I'd watch this and it was really fun. It was just all my favorite cartoon characters hanging out. And when you watch it when you're in your 30s, they literally just turn to camera and go, he thinks he should smoke because it's cool and it relaxes him and it makes him friends. And I was like, I don't appreciate this at all, cartoon.
No.
This is really personal right now.
Like feeling attacked a little bit.
Oh, why does Michael, I mean Damon, actually.
Why is he such a loser?
why doesn't he dress properly and get a real haircut? Oh, I don't need this from you, Alf.
That Alf was on your side. And
you think so?
Yeah.
If there's a schlubby guy in a Hawaiian shirt, I go, that's one of my kin.
A brother.
Yeah. A brother from another mailman.
I thought it was interesting the characters that they didn't manage to get for it.
Okay.
Right, they had like Michelangelo, but none of the other turtles. Obviously, like it was like Disney and
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers. They're all going, okay, you can have some of our characters, but not all of them. So they're like, you can have Michelangelo, but nobody else.
Yeah.
Raphael's busy that day.
Raphael is selling drugs to the kids.
I mean, I was at a Comic-Con convention about a year and a half ago in Portland, and Rob Paulsen was there, and Rob Paulsen is the voice of both Raphael and Pinky from Pinky and the Brain. Yeah, I know. Wow. Now you know this.
Yeah.
And they did Pinky and the Brain were there. And one of the major stories from Pinky was, he's like, do you have any regrets from your career? And he said, well, my only real regret was turning up to the Simpsons audition with half my face covered in cocaine. So maybe Rob Paulsen isn't in this because he runs in some very partying circles.
Yeah.
Through there.
Maybe he wasn't morally able to sign up because it wouldn't have made sense.
Yeah. He was like, no, this will, this goes against my artistic principles.
Whatever, squares.
Yeah. But, I mean, Michelangelo being the party dude, maybe they're like, okay, we need to show the people that are most likely the gateway cartoon characters.
Yeah. The people who like Michelangelo the most are the most at risk.
They might think, oh, Michelangelo, he looks like he would definitely toke up. But twist.
He's against it. He'll meet you in the sewer, but pull out a giant plug, which will then swirl and suck you down into the nightmare dimension.
Oh yeah. That was shocking.
That was
Muppet Babies, wasn't it?
That then becomes the Muppet Babies.
The Muppet Baby roller coaster.
Yes, through your brain, and then one of the catchiest songs I've ever heard in my life plays. There are a million wild and wonderful ways. Say no, yes, way no, sir. I was listening to that, and then I looked it up, and it's written by the guys who did like the Little Mermaid songs from the Disney movie. Like
it has a very Disney-ish cadence to it. Yeah, definitely.
There's but
a few weird lines in that, actually.
Oh, I can't wait to do it at karaoke.
Those drugs like are so boring was it. One. That was very on the nose.
Yeah.
Those drugs are so boring.
They're so boring. But everyone, like, you know, they give a series of excuses for you not, like, ways you can say no to drugs.
Yeah.
And it's like, my sister's sick and my hamster died.
I have to do my homework.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, all right, the homework one's fine. But, like, do you really have to, like, give that bad karma out there and maybe curse your sister and kill a hamster as an excuse on a night out?
Use a rodent as, like, collateral?
I don't know if drugs like do impinge your hamster feeling abilities hugely either.
Yeah,
there was a study done recently.
Yeah,
yeah, about that.
So Michelangelo says no. Yeah. Alf says no. Garfield says no. And you're like, okay, those three live a very sedentary lifestyle.
Cool dudes.
They're cool dudes.
But
then you go, the first people he introduces is Papa Smurf. He's the first one to say no. And then when you see the Smurf Village, again, you were not familiar with them.
Not very much. I remember when I was like maybe three, I remember seeing them, like just a lot of blue creatures on TV, but I didn't have any context.
I mean, the Smurfs are one of those weird pop culture icons because it originally started as a French comic book, which was a political satire, and then had elements of political satire through it. Kind of like your Asterix and Obelix sort of thing. And then the cartoon version of it is basically Heaven's Gate, the cartoon. It's an old man telling a bunch of people how to live their lives and they have to change. They're not given like names, they're given identities.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And like they could have been androgynous, but they put one woman in there. So you know now the rest of them are all male.
Smurfette was actually originally a male Smurf.
Made by Gargamel. That is true. Yes.
So it was an all-male colony of Smurfs, and then they just made a lady Smurf?
They made a single lady Smurf. Yeah. Well, no, she was sent, like all women, to seduce them and turn them to the dark side.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like all pop culture.
Yeah. You know women.
Yeah. It's true. Like, we're terrible.
Listen, hey, I've posted on Jezebel enough to know this. But, like, and then she becomes a good Smurf. She gets turned around by it. And then you're like, that's like, once you start analyzing any of the threads of the characters they did pick, it leads you back to this thing of like
depravity.
Mm-hmm. Like there's some weird overtones, whether it's the Alf's foster father going down on a homeless person or this other patriarchal cult. Like there's no point where you're like, this is a person I want teaching my children.
Yeah, like Alvin the Chipmunk's like a
Chipmunks, yeah.
They're kind of like a product of the record industry. Like, kind of, you don't know. They're going to have like an Amanda Bynes kind of breakdown, maybe.
They are like one.
And you know, One Direction have done some substances, so I would be very surprised if Alvin and the Chipmunks would stay clean.
Oh, no, there's
no way.
No, there's no way. If you've seen the Alvin and the Chipmunks movie,
I have not.
With Jason Lee.
No, sorry, I mean the cartoon movie from around this time.
Okay.
It culminates in a big sing along around a volcano to the song Bully Bully. Bully, 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 bully. You know that one?
Is that like Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs?
Yeah, something like real old. So again, that sounds like a disco song. Disco, cocaine. We're all on board.
Yeah. I think Slimer's in there, but he doesn't actually partake in any of the anti-drug parts.
He
just narcs on the thievery.
He uses a spotlight.
Yeah.
And he also, like, so for example, the Smurfs jump out of a comic book, Alf jumps out of frame, Alf and the Chipmunks jump out of a record cover. Slimer just floats through a wall.
They're just there.
There's just can we safely say they're in the Ghostbusters life world?
The universe. Well, or maybe this is the universe. This is like the afterlife that Slimer lives in generally.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he breaks through to reality on the other side. So the wall is in a way a metaphor between the living and the dead.
Oh my God. There's so many layers.
It is. There's so much going through it.
Like, and the fact that like the voice of Garfield is Lorenzo Music, who's also the voice of Peter Venkman in Ghostbusters.
Mm.
So they got Slimer, but they couldn't get the character when they're already doing the voices.
This could be at the crossover point for him being the voice of Peter Venkman. Someone said to Bill Murray, oh, the Peter Venkman of the cartoon sounds like Garfield. And he was like, I don't want that. So he got the guy fired and they brought in a different guy. And that's how he lost his job.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, so everyone's got these cool stories about what a hip dude Bill Murray is, but he made Garfield lose his job.
Bill Murray makes me sad. I used to be really like, when I was younger, I used to love Groundhog Day. I just thought it was very good. Like, I like that film and I just thought he was very charming and I love like any of his stuff with Wes Anderson. But then you hear stuff about him and you're like, do you hit women, Bill? Like,
ooh, yes.
Yeah. Allegedly,
but like it's always true.
You could tell you're on a podcast network when they add allegedly to whatever accusations.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So court documents state. Yeah. As you get older, you shouldn't meet your heroes. You shouldn't watch things that you liked when you were a kid.
Mm.
Don't meet people that you went to school with. There's a bunch of things. Live in the future, not in the past.
Don't follow people you idolized before Twitter came out on Twitter.
Yes.
That ends badly. That
doesn't work good.
Yeah. It's really upsetting. People just reveal themselves in 140 characters and it's never positive.
No.
Now, if they're throwing in hashtags, you're like, I should probably just get away from this before it gets bad.
Or like if I'd known when I was 12, like he could like send Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead a message and he would see it, you're like, oh my God, I'd definitely do that. But you're like, no. It's like Tom York's there, you're like, no, I'm not going to send Tom York a message.
Because if you see him on the street, you'll go up to him and be like, you didn't reply to my tweet, bro.
I know your DMs are open.
I sent a photo of my face with the word creep written at the bottom and you didn't even fave it?
Yeah.
Not even a pity fave?
What's up? What's up, Tom Bro? No, so I guess the theme of your podcast is let's examine the past.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's good, but it's probably not.
Probably not, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's pick holes in what we once enjoyed.
Yeah. And therefore feel so sad and disillusioned that we turn to drugs. Thank you, Cartoon All Stars of the Rescue.
I'm trying to think. Okay. Another thing about it was my favorite line of all time was there's a lot of really stilted dialogue in this.
Mm-hmm. That's how
cartoons talked then, though.
Yeah.
The guys who wrote this, after they wrote this cartoon, they didn't do any more. They had previously done Alvin the Chipmunks cartoons, but after that only did made for TV Lifetime movies like My Mother the Murderer and I Am Dying Inside, things like that.
They're like, I only want to do things with a message now. Yeah. I'm inspired by this drug scene.
I want to become the Aesop of TV.
I was like, there was a drugs it was sort of like a TV movie and I had an anti-drugs message and Helen Hunt was in it. It was called Desperate Lives.
Mm-hmm.
And someone took acid and jumped out a window and died in it.
Yes.
And I watched that on True Movies when I was like 18. It was one of the best things I'd ever seen. My sister and I were just watching it like, this seems excessive for like one tab. I don't know.
I only know that film from a Keyboard Cat video.
Really?
Where she jumps at the window and then Keyboard Cat starts playing and then Hall & Oates start playing with Keyboard Cat.
It was like
the Keyboard Cat video. That's how I got into Hall & Oates as well.
Isn't it sad that memes were invented by Richard Dawkins and he has become one?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what another thing about Twitter is. Like, he could have just been a very highly esteemed scientist.
Mm. He's the one who told us God wasn't real.
Yeah, I didn't know.
He's an atheist, guys. Did you know that?
I know that, and I also know that it's totally cool to say whatever you want to him in an elevator, because he seems to get quite mad about people.
Yeah,
and he loves his honey.
Oh my god,
he is crazy for honey.
He's like the Bill Murray of Twitter in many ways.
That's true, and of science.
But you were saying that there's some stilted lines. Sorry.
It was when Bugs Bunny, like, he says, "What's up, Doc?" Like, that's like a normal line. But he's like, finishes it to like let you know what actually is up. And he's like, "What's up, Doc, is your life." You know, like, that's mm-hmm. what's at stake.
Yeah.
But he says it in his like trademark Bugs Bunny way. It's really weird.
It's also doubly weird because it was Mel Blanc who did the voice of Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
He had only died a little while before that. So this was the guy who replaced Mel Blanc.
Oh.
So this was his first time doing the voices of that and Daffy Duck. That's why they sound so off.
Yes.
I didn't know why that was and it was bugging me. And
Bugs Bunny knew?
Yeah. It took me a second. I was like...
What's Damon talking? Is Damon okay?
Yeah. No, but it's from the very beginning, the fact that there's no narrative reality to the stilted writing, you're just like, I mean, everyone was very happy with themselves, with the product. So who am I to even comment on anything? Like, this was broadcast around the world.
Was it seen as a success?
It was seen as a great success, yes.
Okay.
It had TV Week. It was a magazine that we used to read to find out what was on TV. They did a front page article about it. It was introduced by presidents from all around the world. I think like there was one of the presidents now lives in Dublin, but he was like originally from like Guatemala or something. And it was produced by a guy named Buzz Potemkin.
Yes. And Roy Disney.
Roy Disney.
Getting his name in there.
Yeah. Was he related to Walt?
He's his nephew. He's like the the next Walt.
Yeah, he was the one who like kind of came along afterwards and kept the legacy alive.
Yeah, like on the Disney cruise ships, there's like a Roy Disney suite. It's the big room.
I forgot you went on a Disney cruise ship.
I know.
Did you go on a Disney cruise?
I've been on two of them. I'm going on a third one.
Whoa!
I love them. Yeah.
are they the same cruise, or is it like part? Is like Lord of the Rings, where there's part one, part two, part three? Like you find out more of the story, the more the.
They're different. Yeah, like the first one was like Mediterranean, and the next one was Caribbean, and then the next one is Transatlantic.
So
I'm like following Titanic's route.
Yeah,
from Barcelona to New York.
Terrifying.
And come into New York Harbor, past Statue of Liberty, and then wave at my friends.
Go to Ellis Island.
Yeah.
Sign the book.
Yeah, get your last name changed very slightly.
Because they're like, your name's too much like a Mick, so we're going to give it a new one. You become a police chief.
Alan
Mikorski. Alan
Mikorski.
That's insane.
It
sounds great.
It's really cool, but it's like you don't hear a swear word for the entire cruise. There's just nothing. It's like it's really very, everything's very stage managed. There's a whole, we were talking to someone who works there, and there's a whole shadow ship where all the crew have to, a whole separate set of corridors and stairways that the crew have to use.
I thought you meant if someone swears, that's where they get sent to. It's like the shadow
kingdom.
The
shadow ship. Yeah.
It's where all the villains for the Disney movies are. Ursula's just serving out vol-au-vents.
It's like the inverse of the good ship.
Yeah. There's a whole a slightly parallel ship.
Like when you look out into the sea, you see the reflection, but it's like dark versions of you there. It's you with horns and holding a trident.
It kind of points back at you, and you're like, I'm not
just
pointing.
Just like orgies and stuff on the shadow ship.
In the shadow ship.
I'd imagine, yeah. I mean, because it's not happening on the real ship. So
I would hope not.
Nobody drinks.
The children.
There are children, but there's adults only areas.
Oh my God.
Oh wow.
Mostly. So you don't have to see children really unless you want to eat free pizza, which you do obviously, so you do that.
I feel like we've brought up this Disney cruise element of your life too late into the podcast.
I know, we need to come back to
so
it
so many questions. So if I could come back on another episode later,
we'll
on
do a Disney
line,
cruise special
just purely on that, because I have so many questions / just wishes that I hope are true for this story.
We will definitely come back to this. I hadn't realized, because someone said to me, you should definitely write about being a person who
goes on these,
isn't a Disney
times.
Obsessive.
Yeah, it's not like you did it once. You're like a consistent fan of Disney cruises.
But of the cruises, not Disney.
You don't like Disney?
Well, I do like Disney. I didn't realize how much I like Disney until I went on the ship. And because there's TV on the TV, there's they just have five channels that have Disney films on loops all day.
Mm.
So you go, oh, actually, I love that film. I love that film.
Yeah.
That's a big part of my childhood. That's huge. Yeah. You're like, actually, I love Disney. Yeah.
Yeah. So you went.
But there's people, there's an art gallery on the ship where you can buy Disney art, and it's $700 or $800. And people buy it.
Yeah.
Is it cartoon plates and stuff? Or is it actually just portraits of...
They keep it classy on the plates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a black market where they sell Songs of the South plates? Stuff you can't normally see?
Songs of the South came up, right? Because you have, obviously on a cruise, you have table mates at your dinner.
Mm.
So you have the same six people with you every day. And there was a couple from South Carolina with us. And they didn't... We had to people had to explain to them what Song of the South...
Oh, okay.
Why that wasn't anywhere on the ship.
Oh. Because they were where's the tar bunny? That's the one I want to get my photo with.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was Song of the South?
It's super racist.
How
cartoon.
About that's the video that I choose for the next time I come up and we can really get into
it. Yeah, that sounds exciting and terrible.
Oh,
yeah.
That'll be a nightmare. I am definitely not going to take anything before watching that again.
Stay clean for that one, I would say.
Yeah.
They built a centerpiece ride based on it in every Disney park, and then cultural mores changed and that are stuck with Splash Mountain.
Splash
a super
Mountain.
Racist ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you go up Splash Mountain, you can see through crevices and you see the animatronics of it.
Yeah.
And there is a strong racial undercurrent through it.
Yeah.
So you're going on the best ride, but also kind of getting this sort of subliminal subconscious.
Yeah.
Hey,
maybe
white
the South
supremacy.
Was okay.
Yeah. You know, do you think did they have the Confederate flag?
Wasn't Walt Disney super racist?
I mean,
it's cotton. Someone needs to pick cotton, kind of thing.
Oh,
yeah.
It was sort of like a mild racism.
It was like Mark Twain books,
right?
Yeah.
At the time, you go, oh, it's understandable. But today, we go, if he was on Twitter, he would be
roasted.
Yeah. His DMs would be closed.
Yeah. We've gotten super off track there, I think.
Yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts on Cartoon All Stars?
I mean, just say no, but say yes.
Yeah.
That's do it within limits.
Say no for a while.
Say no for a while.
Yeah.
Crack is really easy to find.
Oh, incredibly, especially for preteens.
Yeah.
Apparently. Yeah.
and like just hang out with your little sister. Like she misses you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just wants
maybe like ask her for money for your weed.
Oh, like a loan.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to take it, split some with her, you know?
Yeah.
Because it would be insane if during that they smoked and then watched Cartoon All Starts of the Rescue. Like it was like within it. It's like it's as it's happening from the beginning. Like
but they have different color hair in it.
Oh, just yeah. Slight, like slight changes.
Yeah. His t-shirt is like off-white instead of white. Yeah.
That would be even more scary to watch, I think.
Yeah.
If it was that.
Well, I'm glad I introduced this nightmare to you guys.
It's been a very real experience. Yeah.
You use, you lose.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Damon Blake.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Thank
you.
So that was the podcast. This has been Juvenalia. It's part of the Headstuff Podcast Network. If you want to get in contact with us, it's juvenalia@headstuff.org. And please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or similar things. And rate us nicely. Thank you very much, and we'll see you soon. Goodbye. Bye, 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 bye.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.